Welcome to Monday, the Grace.
Monday, Monday, Monday. Welcome, Eric.
You look fantabulous for what you just put your face and body through this past weekend.
Well, thank you very much. I feel fantabulous. I had an amazing weekend. Can't wait to talk about it and get into all the cool things on this episode.
We should start a podcast where we can talk about things like that. Like you can talk about your weekend and how the race went. Stuff
we should do that. Yeah,
let's think about what we should call that. I don't know.
Okay,
all right, you ready?
I'm ready.
Here we go. This is a longer one, so bear with me.
Ooh, I'm ready.
We need a race recap from you about this past weekend, and we also learned how to say cheese on the trails. This is a busy show for sure, so let's pace ourselves on episode 54.
Ooh.
I'm Eric Idiot Renner Kosek.
And I'm Grace Hot Pants Langheim. Eric is all business in the front of the pack, and I am all about the party in the back.
That's right, business up front and party in the back. Together, we are the Running Mullet.
And we are going to talk about every aspect of running, the podium to the DNF and everything in between.
If you are a runner, this show is for you. Now sit back, get out your foam roller, and enjoy the party.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
So this past weekend, well, let's get right to it. I'm not going to ask how your weekend was. I don't really, it doesn't matter.
You don't care. That's okay. You can say it. No.
So this past weekend was Conquer the Wall, 47-hour endurance run.
Yeah.
47-hour, not 48, because the time change.
Correct. Yeah.
Yeah. So you did this last year.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
There was some car sleeping during it. There was some pouting during it.
There was a lot of pouting.
You made it to 100 miles during it, and then you realized you were, I forget what the specific story was, but you were pretty close to, like, kicking ass after that. Because everybody else pretty much quit at 100 because it's an easy thing to quit. So you walked away with it, with wanting to do more, but you were happy with it last year. Oh, how did it go this year?
What a great recap. You remember it well. And yes. It was, you know, we had started the podcast by then last year. So if anybody wants to hear about it, I think it's like episode 2 or something like that.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that was a great recap. And it was a good year last year, but I did a lot of pouting. I had a pity party. That kind of bummed me out that I did that. Because it was unnecessary. So I decided to go back this year. And my real goal was to go back and have fun and not have a pity party. And no matter what the mileage ended up with, to just really have a more positive mindset going into it. Now, first off, this race is, like you said, it's 47 hours. There's also a 35 hour. And it's a 2-mile road loop. In Williamson, West Virginia. It's very close to the Hatfield McCoy trails, if anybody knows where those are. So it's right by Kentucky, and really great race directors, well put together race, but it is road, and man, it's mind numbing. So I went back and convinced other people to go with me. So this year I had friends with me, and that really made a huge difference. And so I actually got less mileage. I did 100 miles instead of 102. But I did not have any pity parties. I did some sleeping, you know, because 47 hours is a long time to go without any sleeping, but I did sleep. And I did not have a pity party. I had a pretty good time. Enjoyed it. So goal achieved, goal unlocked.
Would you call it a re-goal or something like that? Didn't you?
I called it a redo. Yeah. Yeah, I wanted to redo it. And also when I went into the race this year, I was giving myself a little bit more grace because I also, you know, I finished the Duck 100K just 4 weeks ago. That's not very long ago to have 100K on your legs. And then I did a 12-hour walk just 2 weeks ago. You know, so there's a lot more cumulative stress on my body this year. compared to last year. So pulling off 100 miles, I felt really good about that. And the weather was also worse. So I felt good about it. Monica Miller was there. She hit her goal. She got a distance PR. Tessie Barnes, who is an amazing, amazing person. And I've said for a very long time that I want to be her when I grow up. And you know what it's like when you like meet your role models in person, you're like, man, I hope they're actually as cool as I think they are. And she's just cooler, you know? So I was happy to spend the whole weekend with her. And I hope.
Now, when you say the whole weekend, did you guys stay together the whole time?
During the race, no. Okay. But we drove down, like we carpooled together. Oh, okay. We got a cabin together the night before so we could get some good rest. And she did do this because she's her, and this is how amazing she is. She finished up her goal for the weekend, and she is still recovering from an injury. So she's happy with her mileage, even though she's done many 100s before. She didn't hit the 100 mark, but you know, she's recovering from injury. So she turned in her bib and called it quits. And then she found out that I was close to hitting 100 miles, but I was moving pretty slow. So she paced me for 6 more miles to help me get my finish. And they weren't even going to count because she already turned in her bib. And I was like, well, I'll talk to the race director, see if they'll credit you the 3 loops. And they did. They were very nice about it. But she was going to do she was going to go from 88 miles to 94 miles completed and not even get credit for it. But she went just to help me get that 100 miles.
Yeah. So all 3 of you did very high mileage. That's awesome.
Yeah. Monica ended up with 82 miles. And Tessie, she did 3 loops with Monica to help her get her finish. So she just spent the whole weekend just helping us with our goals, which is just a beautiful thing to do. So I really appreciate it. And Matt Smith went down. He ended up with, I think, 135. He did really well.
Nice.
And then Tawny went down. And I have not seen the official results yet, but she may have taken the big W for the 35 hour.
Oh, wow.
I think she did.
I see. And she brought
Leah and Alexis.
I saw the record was broken for the 47 hour.
It was the record, which was Rhoda Smoker's record.
Yeah, well, records are made to be broken, Grace.
That's right. That's right. And that was a longstanding record for a while. So I'm sure she would congratulate the gentleman who broke her record. So
right,
it was a really good weekend.
It sounds like it. Was the weather cooperative?
No, not at all.
Really?
It rained most of the time until the last day. And that really affected my weekend. I kind of rely about a mile of the course is on the road. And then there's about a mile of it is on this macadam walking path. And so last year I would walk in the grass instead of the macadam, and that, you know, that relieved some of the stress. And this year, because it rained so much, the grass was just a puddle. So I didn't want to get my feet too wet. And I spent most of the time on the macadam. And I think that affected the stress on my body, you know?
Today, do you feel like you have any injuries, or are you good?
No, just puffy feet.
Yeah.
Other than that, I feel good. I feel like I could go for a run, but I shouldn't. So I'm not going to. But I feel really good today. Yeah.
You should throw those lumpy pigs in some ice water, a bath, and it'll feel really well.
I should do that.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so I also have to talk about the other huge accomplishment, which was my sister also went down and her friend Darlene. So Lucy and Darlene went down. They walk. They are not runners, but they're walkers. And they go after big challenges, just like runners do. And so they went down and they both got 30 miles. So they were pretty excited to be considered ultra walkers.
Nice.
And so it was so fun. The two of them made these little gift bags for each other. And every 10 miles that they completed, they got to open the gift bag. I thought that was a cool little motivation.
I want somebody to do that for me.
I know. I love this idea. So my sister made little bags for me too, but I had to do 20 miles for each of my bags. And I tell you what, I didn't even care about the buckle anymore. I was like, I just want to open my bag. And one of them had Faygo in it. And I was very excited about that because Faygo Rock and Rye is one of my favorite beverages. Mm-hmm. And it's from Michigan. So I'm now having my second bottle of Faygo. But I got to open up all my bags.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice. Oh, I wish I had bags to open.
Yeah. Well, go do a 2-mile road loop for 47 hours. And I will make you some bags if you do that.
Fair enough. Fair enough. Fair enough. So... before we move on to some exciting guests we have, will you do this event again?
I wouldn't say that I would never do it again, but I'm not planning on doing it next week.
Not next week.
Thank you. I'm still tired. Not planning on doing it next year. There's other races this time of year. Being a back-a-pack runner, it's not like I can do 100 every month. You know, I really got to space them out. So if I want to do a different 100 in the spring, I really got to either go down and do a lot less mileage, or I just don't plan on going there next year. I wouldn't say never again. I do recommend it. I think it's a lot of fun. It's a cool challenge. It is mind numbing. I mean, it's a 7 o'clock Friday night start. And I tell you what, when you are walking or running on the road at noon on Saturday, and you think I'm 7 hours away from the halfway point, like there's nothing more. it's not exciting.
It's not exciting.
And then Chris Young, he just put into the chat, did you get a Sasquatch burger? I did not get a Sasquatch burger. We did eat at this restaurant called The Bucket. It was really good. And I didn't get a Sasquatch burger, but I did get really good food there, and highly recommend going to The Bucket. I mean, when you go down to West Virginia, I'm tired. When you go to West Virginia, you gotta get some good food. We went to Tudor's and got a giant biscuit the size of my head. That was exciting.
I mean, you need to keep eating all the head biscuits that you can.
I try to eat as many head biscuits as I can during a 100 miler.
Just pace yourself. I know you enjoy.
Yeah, I do.
All right. Anything else you want to talk about your phenomenal weekend? Congratulations. You reached your redo, your re-goal, and you had fun doing it, which is pretty much what it's all about, right?
That's right. I feel good. I'm ready for the next adventure.
Good. You're having a phenomenal spring. So I look forward to seeing what's next.
Yeah.
Cool. All right. So we had talked about, you and I were talking about ideas that people would have on the show and things to talk about, because we're full of them. And for tonight, we came up with race photography.
Yes. Because here's where my head was when we talked about this. I was like, you know, I want somebody to tell me, how do I get a great race photo? Why don't we have some photographers on to give us the answer? And we could talk about some other stuff too, but that's going to be one of my questions, is how do you're running along, you want a great race photo, you see the photographer, what do you do?
I will, before we get and go any farther, I will say any photo I've seen of you, it's amazing. So
it
I
is amazing.
To do with the subject too.
Yeah.
Yeah. And your rear end, I mean, that's a lot of it.
Yeah, that's from either direction. Great photos.
All right. So we have on, I'm going to add them to our show right now. We have Jennifer Kamiensky and Kevin Perigine. Okay. They're friends of mine. You haven't met them in person before, right, Grace?
Eastern States.
I have, yes.
Well, thanks for being on the show. I don't know. I was trying to think back when we met each other. I'm guessing it was at World's End, probably back in 2018 or something like that. I'm not sure. I believe it was probably, I was running and I saw Jennifer. I think I saw you out on the trail taking pictures. And I don't know. We kind of connected a little bit from there. They're strong Idiot Runner supporters. Kevin's run a couple Idiot Runner fun runs up here, as we call them, at my house. So we've gotten to know each other a little bit here and there. But, you know, when we were talking about photography people and things like that, they're the first ones coming to my mind because they're who I see the most up in north central part of our our racing section here. So, Kevin, like, how did, first of all, Kevin, you do photography a little bit professionally, right?
I do.
Right.
Professionally, I'm a headshot photographer.
Okay.
Yeah.
So. Nice. Mm-hmm. So, and Jennifer, what do you do?
I'm a marketing director for an engineering firm. So this is my fun, is to go on weekends and chase the runners around with my long lens. That's my fun part of worlds.
Awesome.
Nice. So what races have you guys photographed at?
The World's End races, Heiner, Eastern States, a bunch of the Pretzel City races. We did a lot of those. When I first got started doing it, Kev started running trails, and I could only go that far. So I just started chasing him, so I'd follow his races, and then I'd start getting other people, and everybody who was around Kev got shots, and then we kept expanding it out and expanding it out from there. And it was really a way to participate when I knew that there was no way I was going to be able to run it. So that was really important to have that opportunity. And then working with everybody, getting the highs as you go by, getting, you know, hey, you're the one with the crazy outfits out on the trail and all of that. It was like, oh, this is great. It was a nice benefit that I didn't expect from it, but it was because he started doing trails.
Wow. So, and about how many races are you shooting maybe within the year?
The whatever he's running. Except for last year, Kev did not run Eastern States. So we shot that together. It was one of the few times that we've had the chance to really shoot together on it. So
okay. It
was good that way. So, you know, three, four, if we do some of the smaller ones, the Pretzel City ones, then that'll add in some of those, but he's usually running those. So then I'll just do the labor pains, all those kind of ones. So yeah. 12-hour races.
Fun. I have so many questions. And my husband is a professional photographer as well. He's a commercial photographer. Mm-hmm. So a little different. Yeah. And I had asked him, you know, if you could ask some questions, what would you ask? So he gave me a whole list, and I'm really excited to ask some of these questions, because he came up with some good ones. Yeah. So we have a lot to discuss. And I think you just answered one of the first questions, which is how did you get into it? And, but along those lines, what do you, and this will, I'll kind of go to each one of you for this. What do you enjoy most about, race photography? So, Jen, why don't you start?
I like capturing the moments for people. It's really about that opportunity to, you know, I'll never have that moment, but they will have that moment. And if I get it right, then I'm in. Like, I've got it. I got that person, even if it's a trip, a fall, or anything like that. But that moment when they're coming across the finish line, or when they make it up that darn hill, or when they're any of that stuff, that is so much fun. And sitting in the woods alone and hearing them coming, it's amazing. It's just like, oh, here they come. I can always hear Kev's voice when he's coming down, but you know, you hear the laughter, you hear the friendships, and it's great. It's like therapy for me. I really enjoy it.
And then Kev, you know, same question for you. What do you enjoy about it?
Yeah, I like, it's totally different. Honestly, it's different from not running the race. Mm-hmm. So when you're not running the race, you're trying to be active within the community. It's the after effect also. So, you know, once we do the edits, once we upload, it's the enjoyment that you see when everybody else sees their images and starts posting and sharing their images, putting on their profile pics, the thank yous. You know, it's still just being part of the community. And it's very different. So I have done some road races. People have asked me to shoot road races locally around here. Road races are very different than trail races one running, but also the photography part of it, because you don't get the thank yous at all. They never thank you during a road race. Huh. They don't repost, they don't tag, It's crazy.
They don't share anything. It's just like, don't you guys like, aren't you glad to be out
it's
there?
It's very different. So it's everything that you experience in the trail community as a runner, you get to experience that same side as a photographer.
Mm-hmm. Well, that'll be a great first kind of takeaway. Cause I think we're gonna have, I hope for those of you who are not on a run right now, if you're not driving, you take some notes, cause we're gonna have a lot of takeaways. And our first one is gonna be, if you run a road race, thank your photographer. Share those photos.
And use the photos.
Use those photos. Thank your photographer when you run a road race. Because some trail runners also run road. So we can spread it. Yeah. We can spread that. Yeah. I like it. Yeah. All right.
Yeah, it's very different. It's very different shooting a road race versus a trail race.
Yeah.
All right, Grace, you have more questions than I do, but I have one that I don't want to forget about. It's an important one. So let me get through this and then you can shoot away. All right. My biggest question to both of you, do you look at in a trail race, do you look at the camera or do you pretend the camera's not there? As a runner, I'm asking you, should I look at the camera or pretend it's, you're not there?
It depends. It really depends.
Depends on the terrain.
It depends on the terrain, honestly. So I would never recommend you always look at the camera because around here is very different than running out in Colorado, where it's more open and you have way less trip hazards. Around here, you know, you take your eye off the trail, there's a good chance you're going to be eating trail. So, you know,
that's the last thing we want. You know, that's the last thing you want. I mean, it could be funny.
Yeah.
And it could be, and it could be all this other stuff. I don't want to see the carnage if somebody loses it and coming down, like they're bombing down a hill and they see me and they go, oh, great.
Yeah.
And they do that. And then they come tumbling down and either ruin their race, hurt themselves, or God forbid anything else. So, so if it's a flat open space, absolutely. Go ahead. Stop.
Have fun with it.
But stop. You know, so if you're going to do it, just understand when we're out there with these big lenses, I'm going the wrong direction this strike. When we're out there with those big lenses, we're shooting 40 feet, 50 feet, 100 feet down the trail. If you're coming up to here on us, we can't get you. You're too close. I'm shooting up your nose. I can't do it. Yeah.
Within 10 feet, you're not going to get anything focused. So when you're coming right up to the lens, you know, especially if we have a longer lens on, the focus isn't that close. So we're, you know, 20, 30 feet away. Great.
Yeah.
That's that's a great, you know, area or a little bit more. We can zoom in or even crop it later on. But if you're too close, it's going to be too close to catch it anyway. But it depends on the terrain. It really does.
Yeah. If you can stop safely, jump up and down, do something, go right ahead and do it. It's great. We love when that happens. It's just, it's safety first is what we preach. My mantra to Kev and every other racer that I talk to is, you know, all parts back in the same working condition. That's all I care about. I want to make sure everybody comes back healthy and relatively healthy. You just ran whatever you did. But it's really important that everybody's just safe out there. And so I don't want to be the cause of it. And so if we're in a narrow situation where it's a very narrow path, and I know that the runner's going to be coming pretty close to me, I'll do a whoop whoop so that people hear me. So if you hear whoop whoop coming through the forest, start looking around because I'll be there, because I want you to know that I'm there. I don't want to, like, surprise you. Fall off the trail on, you know, on the other side. That's not going to work for us. So you know, if you don't have earphones in or you have one in or something like that, that works great, because then you can hear me, I can hear you, that kind of thing. It's really good. It's really good that way.
Oh man, more good takeaways, I'm telling you.
The reason I ask that is I always feel like I'm that uncomfortable, weird runner that is somewhere in between looking at you and then realizing, oh crap, I should just be natural. So not look at you. And then I'm looking at you. So I already know you're there. And then it just comes.
You get me hard. You get half and half. So I know.
And then I get a bad.
We do these things. I don't know. Keep running.
Yeah. I don't
know. Also where you are in the race at that point in your head. So if you've had a crappy, you know, whatever leading up to it, I know that face of yours. I know when you're really happy. I know when it's a crappy day or it's just not the race that you wanted to run. And you can tell that, especially as you know, you start to run into the same runners over and over again, you can see when they're having, you know, fantastic days or when they're having just a drudge.
But those bad but those bad faces don't necessarily make for bad pictures.
Oh, yeah, no.
There, a lot capturing of those are, the pain is a good thing.
The pain is good to see. You know, it's part of what running is. And just because you're in pain or just that you don't have that happy smile on your face, that doesn't really affect the image itself, the picture itself.
Just run your race. Yeah. Just run your own race. We'll get it.
Yeah.
You know, in various spots. Mm-hmm. The funniest thing that usually happens is when I'm out on the trail, because I'll get in the car and drive while you guys are running. Mm-hmm. Then it's you again. How'd you get here so fast? I'm like, I have a car. I'm not running this. I'm not time traveling. I'm getting in a car and I'm driving and I'm coming over to you.
Yeah.
So those are, you know, just the quirks of being out on the races. But you start to know the people, even if I don't always know everybody's name. I'm terrible at names. But it's one of those things, like, you know, when they're having a bad day. I see Gabe's here and I know when he's having a good day, when he's not having a good day. You know, I know when Ben's not having a good day. You know, even as a race director, you can see what's going on. And we look at faces all day long. This is, you know, and feet sometimes can make
faces tell a story. It's sometimes just like in any other photography, it's about telling a story about a person. And the good, the bad, the ugly, it all tells the same. It all is part of that story.
Yeah. Now, you kind of started to allude to this already when you were talking about driving to that spot, but there is a lot of equipment to lug around. And I remember one race in particular I think it was Rattling Creek Run. No, it wasn't Rattling Creek. I don't remember which one it was, but anyway, it was just pouring buckets. Mm-hmm. And this race photographer still went out just coated in plastic and all of his equipment coated in plastic and shooting in the rain, still going out there. Mm-hmm. And those are just a couple of things that I think about is you know, yes, your car might not be too far away, but you're still headed, if it's a trail race, you're still heading into the trails. What's difficult about photography or race photography, and then what is easy about it?
Well, the walk-in port is definitely, you know, carrying, especially I'm only 5 feet tall, so I'm short. I've got short arms, I've got short legs. So as I'm going up trails, there are times when there's gaps or there's things you got to go over. And so I'm like a little kid, you know, trying to bring the camera over without dinging it or doing something like that. Mm-hmm. Getting into a location is difficult sometimes. But what you're really looking for is it worth it? If it's worth it, I'll hike 10 miles in. But you have to just make sure that, you know, the worst is you get 10 miles in and you go, God darn it, I had the same exact view if I had just stayed back at the you know, that kind of thing. So that's difficult. Western Pennsylvania or the Northeast in general is dark. Okay. Compared to like out west, they've got, you know, those wonderful vistas and no trees and they've got no canopy and all this other kind of stuff. And it's also these wonderful colors and everything. We have a lot of brown. We have a lot of dark green canopies that have a lot of shade.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of darkness that we have to deal with. And that makes it grainy, which is kind of funny since our camera is a little grainy that we're using right now. We're a little fogged up. But so that'll make it grainy because you have to dial it down so much in order to actually capture anything without it being soft. So that's a hard part.
Knowing your camera is...
He yells at me for that all the time. I don't know my camera as well.
Knowing how to use your camera is very important in any photography, no matter where you're shooting. But because it's so dark around here, you know, you have to have a shutter speed for your camera that is fast enough to stop action to keep it from being blurred, but you have to use, you know, a low enough ISO, which is basically your film speed, you know, so you don't get total grain, but you also, you know, you want things in focus, so you have to play with your f-stop, and there's just a lot of
framing and framing. All of those,
there's a lot of technicals
of it,
when you're shooting in darker light, which is under everything under canopy, as opposed, you know, it's not the same as shooting in wide open. It's difficult.
Jason has commented on that before because he's seen some of my trail running magazines and so on. And he's like, there's just nothing on the East Coast. And that's part of the reason why.
I did a shoot for one of my friends who wanted it for Hammer magazine. and he's one of the ambassadors, and he wanted to get into the magazine. So he asked me to do a photo shoot for him and the director of marketing, I spoke to on the phone, and he's like, can you get some, you know, wide open vista images? And it's like,
right.
Mind you, this is like November, I want to say also.
Yeah.
Get some really nice, pretty pictures. Get some, you know, wide open on the trails. Like, we're in the Northeast. Everything's brown already. There's no leaves on the trees. Yeah. You know, it's not like it is that way. And he lived in Washington State. So he's thinking, it's all like Colorado, it's all like that.
We're not evergreens out here. We don't have
it's here.
Yeah.
So, there's no leaves on the tree. And we had some really good images, and it did get into the magazine.
Right.
But it's not what people think of. Everybody in all the magazines, everything is, all the images are from out west. There is anything representing the Northeast, where it's tight trails, rocks and roots, and leaves and trees.
Yeah.
There's none of that in the magazine. So everybody thinks that, oh, this is so easy to take. Well, no, it's not really that easy around here.
Really damn hard. I would love to have some of those guys who are, I mean, I love what they shoot. It's just amazing stuff. I'd love to have them come play with me
for a day.
Yeah. And just see what it's like to shoot in this stuff. I mean, it's difficult. It's difficult. Yeah. But I don't know if there is an easy part. I remember the second part of your question was about what was easy about it. That you can drive to different locations, you know, somewhat easily. There's a lot of crossroads that you can get to fairly easily. That helps things. But it's not an easy shoot. It is not an easy shoot. But neither are our races. So that's the best part. I feel like, because I'm sore by the end of it. I've been carrying the lens around, you know, on my shoulder, both sides. I'm beaten down by the time we get. I don't know what it's going to be like when he does Eastern States this year. Like, he's never done a race that long. I've never done a race that long to be part of it and to actually be on that whole time. I don't know what that's going to be like. I may need.
Yeah. And you're not even getting. There's no division of ultra sign up. And so that kind of leads to the next topic that I wanted to discuss. This isn't in Jason's list of questions, but I did want to discuss a little bit about, especially with trail, some of the race photographers are paid. Sometimes they're paid by the race director. Sometimes they make a little bit of money off of paid photos. And then a lot of times they are just volunteers who are helping out and deciding to spend their entire day in the elements, taking photos of people and then giving those photos away for free. So can you kind of talk about those dynamics and what do you do? And I think any tips for people as well, such as, you know, crediting the photographer and things like that.
There are very few trail races that will actually pay a photographer. They're just, the budget's too tight for it. And so they are relying on people to help out. And some of those photographers will charge a nominal fee. It's not a ton usually, but I don't. This is volunteer from my perspective. It's something that I like to do, and it's something that challenges me. I do want to get on one of those magazine covers one of these days from it. So I do have my own personal goals of what I want to do with it, but I don't look at it as how I make a living. And it's not how I plan to make a living ever. It's just what I do on weekends, and I enjoy it very much. There's nothing wrong if somebody has the opportunity to monetize their photography. Right. There just isn't a ton of it usually. And so when we're shooting, I'll shoot and we'll put it all up on Facebook in an album, that kind of thing, and then people can download whatever they have there. And then I also give the option of giving a high res version if they want to, you know, print up 100 copies and, you know, 100 by 20 feet, you know, and give them to all their neighbors. They can, because these are so large, have what we have in the format's okay. But it's just, we're out there. It's a volunteer thing. I enjoy it very much. And it's, as I said, it's kind of therapy to me. So that's what I prefer. But there's nothing wrong with it. If somebody's trying to do that, if they want to make this a career, It'll be harder on the East Coast. I will tell you that, because they're not going to get the covers. They're not going to get paid endorsements as much, you know, that kind of thing, because there is product photography you can do for it. Like Kev was talking about for Hammer, but you're not going to get paid much.
Yeah. It's this isn't something that you're going to do and make a living on. Even if you do get paid, most people that do charge for it, and you'll see the difference. So usually like we just throw it up on Facebook, throw up low res on Facebook, and we even put on there if you want a high res, just contact us. And many people actually do contact us for a high res image, and then we send it to them. You know, but you'll see the difference, you know, if it just goes up on Facebook versus going up a link to Smug Mug or Pixie Set or something like that. You know, they are making a little bit of money on it. Whether or not they're doing that for their living or not, I don't know. Some people, it does actually supplement their living, which, you know, if that's the case and they're out there, try to support them.
Or they're supporting their race habit.
It could be too. That's not why we do. We don't do it. We're not here to make money off of. We're doing it because we actually enjoy doing it. And it's fun. It's fun for us being part of the community. It's being part of, you know, it's this, you get the same feeling as if you're running the race. For me, at least, you know, if I can't run a race and I can shoot the race, then it's the same part of the feeling being part of the same community. People know you. People say hi to you. People enjoy looking at their images. People, they'll download them. They'll post them. They'll tag you. And yeah, yes, tag, always, tag, always, always tag your photographer.
Tag.
Always.
Give credit.
Yes.
It helps with people, other people seeing that somebody took race photos that may not have seen that there was actually race photos taken. Yeah. And then they'll go click it and go to the page also. So not everybody sees the fact that there was a link to the album until they start seeing other people post and like and tag and down, you know, those their own images.
And I'll tell you, one of the best things is when we put up those albums on Facebook and you start seeing the click, 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 and all of that. That is just outstanding. It is so much fun when you start seeing that light up. Like, yeah, they're seeing them.
Yay. So, so some more takeaways that I'm hearing out of this, which I think is really helpful. I mean, when you go to that photo album, if you see your friend, tag them.
Definitely.
And you know, give credit to the photographer. I think, you know, when you're in a race and yes, there are some people making a living off of it, which is awesome. And there's some people who are doing it voluntarily, which is also awesome. And I think in any of those cases, you know, you might get a bad race photo and that's okay. Yeah. Like there'll be another race, you know?
Honestly, so how we try to do races. So we do, especially in the beginning, we do try to get everyone. So you'll notice, like, say, you know, Eastern States, almost everybody got an image coming over the bridge. You know,
right?
That's because not everybody's going to finish the race.
Yeah,
right.
People won't make it past the bridge.
So we do try to get everybody at least once during a race.
At the beginning, you know, certainly at the beginning is the best time to be doing that. And if there's staged races like the Heiners or that kind of thing. So, you know, catching the start of both races so that you at least get people once is what we try to do. Won't always happen, but we try very
hard. Yeah, sometimes you're not going to get any. Sometimes the image is going to be crappy. It's a crapshoot sometimes. You know, some people, it just didn't work out that day.
That's
why you run more than one race.
Well, that's true. You fill up very much when you are doing multiple races that we're shooting at.
So definitely thank your photographers when you are out there, because they might be volunteering their time. And even if they're not, even if they're paid, you know, you still want to thank your photographers.
It's very nice to be thanked.
Yeah, it's always nice to be thanked. It's always nice to be acknowledged for the effort that you're putting in. It's the same, you know, the race directors, thank them. It's the same. Or the volunteers, thank them. You know, it's no different, honestly. You thank people that are doing something for you.
And
if you want to improve your chances of getting a better shot, wear bright clothes. I'll see you, and I'll you know, and I'll track you coming down the trail better. So those that is really helpful. That's why I wear such bright stuff, so that you guys can see me. but also so that I can see you. I always tell Kev, like, when he's getting ready for a race, and I'm like, let me see your shirt. What are you putting on? Oh, okay. Bright pink. Great. Bright yellow, orange, all those ones. Great. I can see you. I can find you, you know, that kind of thing. But it really helps to grab my eye when I'm out there and to be able to be able to see you in the midst of, you know, the trees.
You also contrast with the environment too. Like, right. So if you're wearing something brighter or lighter, you know, you're not blending into a dark background.
And the camera has something to lock on too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So those are all, you know, good things to think about as you're preparing with everything else that you're doing.
Right. That was another great takeaway. I would see more learning stuff. This is great.
Yeah.
The cool part about the pictures, and it we all know it, but you're capturing memories. Uh-huh. And a lot, you know, I think every one of us here talking, the four of us, like we, these things, some of these things we're doing are pretty big things in our life. And when you have that photo, at least for me, when I have a photo to look back on it, when I look at that photo, there's a whole story I think about as soon as I look at it, if it's a good photo, you know? So it's really, that's the best part about it, is you're capturing things that people should be able to hold on to for the rest of their life, which is really neat. It's not just a picture.
It's a moment in time.
That's photography. It is. You know? It's bringing back so many memories and emotions when you just see it. You know, think about, you know, sometime, even if it's not running, think about like pictures that you saw from, you know, maybe high school or you know, whenever it was. You know when that picture was taken. You know what you were doing. It's the same thing. You know, you're running a race. It could be a good race or a bad race, but, you know, you're looking at
and also who you were with.
Who
you were with. Who were you yapping with that whole day? What were you doing that day? And you know, sadly, we know of runners who no longer are with us. And having that opportunity to, there was a runner that we lost, and I was able to go back through some of the pictures that weren't like maybe the best ones that I had of the person, but like, here's everything I have of him. Mm-hmm. You know, use at will, you know, for whatever you want to, put it in a scrapbook, do what you need to do. So that is the part of that community side of it. I mean, it's really important that, you know, there's an opportunity maybe to have a little bit more memento from that time.
Right. Okay. Yeah, that's a good point. I mean, I have, you know, you talking about runners that are no longer with us. I have several on my phone of a couple of runners that I hold close to my heart that, you know, I don't know if there's professional photos of them or not, but man, it's like, they're the most important ones.
That's right.
It's the truth. It's a lot of memories.
If you're hearing anything on the microphone, our dog is rolling around on the couch behind us.
That's right. Grace does that a lot sometimes too.
I do. I roll around on the couch sometimes.
And run and rub your butt.
I do. You know, I'm just so excited.
It's not me. It's not my stomach, and it's not Kev's stomach. It's Darwin. Darwin's stomach.
Yeah. All right. Now I have more fun questions.
Sure. Yeah.
We're getting into some cool ones now.
Okay.
Of the genres of photography you don't shoot, which are you most interested in?
Ooh. So there's a couple things that we do. I talked about, I'm a professional headshot photographer. We do race photography. One of the other things that we do like to do, we call it photo safari. And photo safari is basically just going out. It could be a lot of times in the city, any city, or just going out into the mountains, just start taking pictures, just roaming around and just take pictures.
It was one of the first things that we did when we first met. We went on a trip to Florida and we were in an area that had all of these downed trees. And it was kind of like kismet that we knew that things might really work out for us when we spent 4 hours going up and down 100-foot stretch of beach, just shooting these trees over and over again, you know, different looks, different angles, different, you know, ways to interpret it, everything like that. So those photo safari days are just fantastic. And it gives the creativity of something else and something else in what we do for a living. Cause I also have to deal with photography for my engineering firm. So, you know, we do skyscrapers and buildings and all that kind of stuff. So I have to do some shooting in that world, and I'm a drone pilot for it also, but that's different than going out and doing photo safari days where it's relaxed.
Yeah.
Right. Right. Oh, fun.
And then after a couple of drinks, you know, at lunch, you know, it's even better.
Absolutely. Okay, another fun question. What's one photography trend that should die?
Selfies. Oh, actually, here's another one. No. Obviously, again, what I do for a living. So there's a new thing, how people smile. And it is the biggest irritation in the world. So when people, when you smile naturally, your tongue recedes in your mouth. Okay. The new thing nowadays is to push your tongue through your teeth to help you smile.
Oh.
All the time I see it.
Huh.
People young, especially younger people, they think it actually helps them improve their smile.
Well, it replaced
all you do. All you do is see your tongue sticking through your teeth. That needs to go away and go away yesterday.
Yeah. Yeah. And
replace the fish faces. Yeah. I'm telling you.
Yeah. Do not do that.
No, and, no, no, blue oh.
Oh my gosh. No, if you're listening, if you're listening to this episode and you get a chance, I mean, go to the video just real quick on YouTube, because first, Kev, watching you shudder is priceless, and then Eric's kissy face.
Blue steel. That's right, blue steel.
God. We're all posing, and this is a good episode to tune in.
Yeah, that needs to go.
We also all went past the selfie arm, you know, the arm up thing, you know, the I'm not a chicken. There's a whole bunch of them that you do. You see it all the time. Huh. And it's what the kids are doing, so you know.
Yeah. They are not,
the swiping.
Kids do not know how to smile anymore.
Yeah.
The kids.
So what tips do you have for people out there you already gave out one, which is wear bright clothing. What else to help us get a really great race photo?
Look for areas that are sort of that stand out. Bridges, rock formations, any of that kind of stuff is a big magnet to photographers, whether me or anybody else. We're looking for some sort of setting for it. So if you come up on something, I mean, Top of Heiner is a big one. I mean, you know how many photographers line up there. That's a big one there. Dirty Kiln has the throughway that all of the runners have to run across. And so that one's another space, and you'll see a gazillion photographers there. So if you see something that looks kind of signature to the course, there'll probably be a photographer there. But if they can get to it, okay.
Act natural.
Oh, yeah.
You don't have to do anything that's special. You don't have to wave your arms. You don't have to.
You can hold hands with your friends, though. Yeah. It's okay. I have some of the best pictures of that.
But be natural, honestly. You know, staying in your runner form instead of having your arms all over the place, they're the best pictures, honestly. Like, just be natural.
And also allows you to get a little closer in so that I'm focusing on your face more than what your arms are doing.
And if you're going to trip, do it like 20, 30 feet out.
Please.
They're really bad.
Especially if I can get a series of them. Those are really good. I did have a series of ones going across that piece in Dirty Kill.
Yeah. I remember.
Spiraled. It was just awesome. So I had click. All the way into the water. Feet up in the air, the whole thing. Hey, on Eastern States, the bridge. The water crossing. That's a good.
Oh thing. Yeah.
That's also a magnet. You know, that's a magnet. So, those are the kinds of things you want to keep an eye out for.
Yeah. Okay.
If you're conscious.
Yeah.
If you're not, just run.
There were some great pictures going across the water.
Yeah.
It was unique too, though.
Was very unique.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you have something that's more unique, such as the water crossing, you can, as a photographer, you can do so much more with that. Because it is very different. It is something that you're not going to see all the time. And you can get some creative shots with it. Just with anytime there's water crossing, honestly.
Splashes. Because
you can
do
so much more as a photographer rather than just running. You're getting the water. You're getting the movement. You're getting, you know, something where people aren't posing. Because if they're posing, they're probably going into the water rather than, you know, making it safely across.
Yeah. And here's the other thing, you know, you referenced the photographer that was covered up completely with plastic and everything like that. some of the most interesting shots I've taken were when it was a downpour. Because if you shoot it fast enough, you can stop the raindrops. And so you've got the person and the raindrops in the foreground, and you got the person in the back or vice versa. And it creates a very pretty and different kind of photo. Mm-hmm. So, you know, just because it's raining doesn't mean we're not going to be out there. It just depends on how bad it's raining.
I mean, thankfully we had a tent for Eastern States, but, you know, also, as you saw, we had the Ziploc bags around the cameras, which does help. You know, the cameras are water resistant, you know.
But I don't want to risk a $5,000 camera.
Yeah. Right.
You know, that they are made for weather, but, you know, putting a Ziploc around it, you could still shoot with it. You know, in that kind of weather.
Just a little
bit. You just have to keep it safe.
Yep.
Now, kind of in that vein, I'm telling you, my husband, he comes up with great questions. I love him.
Can I fit something real quick?
Yeah.
Can I have it? I know as photographers, you guys are always looking for the best action shot, and all of us runners love the best action shot. But I will say, some of my favorite photos from both of you come from the pre-race meetings and the post-race festivities. Mm-hmm. And that's because you're getting those photos when people don't know you're there. You're sneaking them.
Correct.
But man, they're in my opinion, they're some of the best ones. And
you can get a picture of me and Eric holding hands.
Yeah.
Best buddies.
Yeah, I would agree. They're candid, and again, sometimes when you don't know the camera's on you, you do get that great image. And like some of the there in the morning, like before Eastern States, because it was so dark,
right?
And everybody's headlamps are on, you know, you get really cool images with that,
even when they're coming up to registration and that kind of thing. Because you know, they're concentrating on registration, or they're talking to their friends, or they're doing something else, they're not paying attention that I'm standing on the table behind.
Yeah.
And you get a lot of it. There's some Howie Stern talks about shooting close in. Mm-hmm. So he likes to get, you know, up the people's noses, for lack of a better term. But I've taken that counsel, and especially in those circumstances, because it's quiet and I don't have to capture him running by me and I don't have to do all that kind of stuff. So you can have the chance to really concentrate on getting the person. Mm-hmm. And they are some of my favorite as well, Eric. I you know, you see the little kid who's asleep on the dad, or you see those things, and they're just great.
Yeah, it tells the whole story.
Yes. Yeah. And again, that is part of the story that you're taking of someone. So when you start seeing them in the morning, when you see them at the beginning of the race, when you see them during the race several times, maybe after the race, you know, for them, that's a complete race. That's a complete story of someone's race and of someone's day. And
or like 2 days, so three.
Yeah, but that's, you know, it's memorable. That's part of the memories, you know, from start to end. And you know, during a race, you do have a split second sometimes to capture someone running, as opposed to some, you know, during check-in or maybe someone sitting down, where you can actually wait for that moment that you know is going to happen. And knowing how people are, knowing, you know, what. Looking at a conversation that people are having, you can see where that moment is going and where that shot is going to be good. So you do have the benefit of time.
And when they pick up on the fact that you're looking at them through the lens. I've had a lot of stink eye ones.
So I have just a couple more questions. One, is there a bad photo gig or experience you can share that you're able to share? You know, of course, where needed, you can always keep it anonymous, that you learned from.
It's a recurring gig.
I started shooting a race. Someone had asked me to shoot a race. It was a local race, a road race. And come early, shoot, you know, people getting ready, shoot a lot of the vendors and sponsors and stuff like that. And then the race, it was a 5K or maybe a five mile race. And then shoot afterwards and stuff like that. And
never used a one.
They posted them way later. They never tagged anybody. They never tagged me. They didn't put them on their Facebook page either. Yeah, they did a while later.
Okay.
But they never tagged anybody, so nobody ever knew that they were there.
It's a tree falls in the forest. You can't know it did it. And nobody pulls a picture out. And you can't do it either. So it's the same way. You know, and
it becomes a bad experience for the photographer. I did it 2 years in a row, and then I... it became just more of a pain in the ass.
Mm-hmm.
It was for a nonprofit, and you know, it starts at, you have to be there at 6 a.m, and it was only supposed to be like for 4 hours. They were so unorganized.
It ran two or three hours longer
than it was supposed to. Oh, yeah.
Organization's a good thing.
Organization is a big thing. So sometimes when you do things like that, you're only going to do that couple times, and then it's like it's just not worth it. There are a lot of bad experiences, but like in any business or any kind of profession, mm-hmm. you know, you do it with a smile.
Yeah.
You know? Like, so never doing this again.
In business, that you're never ever going to please everyone.
No.
Yeah.
And that happens, and you sometimes you'll get someone will say something to you, and you totally disagree with it, but you say, "I'm sorry, you feel that way," and that's that. And you don't have to worry about it. And you look at the rest and you say, you know what? You're the oddity.
Yeah.
Because everybody else is happy with everything.
Everybody seems to
be happy. And sometimes that's what happens. And that's doesn't matter what business you're in, it's just part of life that not everybody's gonna be happy with what you do. You can look at the image. There's one perfect example, actually. So I had a client once, and this was post-pandemic, his image was probably from about 5-6 years prior when he was in college. Post-pandemic, he comes in, wants a new headshot, blah, blah, blah. He gained like 30 pounds.
Which
and he's telling me that it doesn't really look like his old image.
There's a lot in the headshot world.
I'm sorry. Like, honestly, like, there's nothing I could do. Like you, and I told him, I was like, you gained 30 pounds. It's not going to look like your other image. It can.
It's who you are. What you have is what you have.
You know.
That's the one thing you have to deal with. You know, your hair could be a mess that day. I'm sure people don't recognize me because my hair's straight today, because most of the time my hair is curly and I have big glasses on and the whole thing is going on. It's your face, your body is what it is.
Yeah.
You know, we all want to lose more or gain more or do whatever we want to do. But your face and your body are what they are.
Yeah.
And so just like the woman said last night, you got to accept who you are. That's definitely the case. I see that John Schaefer mentioned that if you're with a group of people, drop back or speed up so that you're the only one in this frame. Absolutely. That's great advice.
Yeah.
Fantastic advice.
Don't be behind. Sometimes if you're in a row, that's okay if you're far enough out, because we can get everybody in a row if you're on the same plane, basically. But if you're running in a group and you're behind people,
I get the first guy and I get the third guy. I'm never gonna get the second guy.
Don't expect a good shot, because you're gonna be behind everyone or in the middle of a group. And it's like if you really want a picture, if you see the photographer there, hang back a second or spread yourselves out a little bit. You know, if you're going straight across, that's great. We can if you're far enough away, we can, zoom out and get you. But if you're in a tight
cluster,
you can't expect to get a good image of yourself if, there's three people in front of you.
Yeah. I remember it was a great experience, but it was also a little rough. I was running Heiner 50K and I was going for a very specific time and I was close to that time. So I'm trying to get to the finish line. And this was the old finish line. So you have like a little bit of an uphill before you hit that finish line across the street from the start. And I'm getting up to that finish. And the person in front of me is this woman who had been carrying a giant American flag the entire race.
Oh, no!
And I'm like, do I pass the badass in front of me who's amazing and inspiring? Do I pass her in the last 20 feet?
You're not gonna miss your shot.
Which looks terrible. Or do I hang? Am I next to her? That's not a good idea. Am I behind her and not hit my goal? And I was like, man, I ended up hanging back, but still. She's so awesome. It was a funny prediction.
If you want a good picture, you have to think about it.
Think about it.
So that was another great little takeaway. We've got so many of them. And so I want to leave it, you know, the last question is going to be, what is an experience or a situation that you thought was especially inspiring as you're out there shooting? So the opposite of that, what's been something that just stuck with you and just was a great experience?
You probably have a lot.
That's tough.
usually seeing people that I know is always a good experience, I will say. You know, whenever you see someone, especially in the middle of the trail, where, you know, as a runner, say, you know, if you see someone in the middle of the trail, you're not at an aid station, you're not anywhere where there's anybody cheering you on, you know, it does give that runner a pep in their step.
Yeah,
it really does. It's usually at a time where you don't expect it. And as a photographer, you notice that. You notice when, like, someone sees you and all of a sudden they kind of perk up a little bit, which is
always, or they ask you, when's the next aid station?
Yeah, that's it.
It's just down here. It's just down here.
Not much further.
You're almost there. You're almost.
Those experiences are always good. Or, you know, at the finish line where it might be someone's first long race or something, you know, someone was struggling.
Or their DNF. Or DFL, excuse me.
When Kat finished last year, that was fantastic.
It was amazing. Everybody lost their minds. It was great.
When she was coming in crossing the line. That's an experience that as a photographer, I'll always remember. You know, those are the kind of experiences that you know when something hits you. And it doesn't matter where.
And you're like, please God, let me have gotten it.
Yeah.
You know, the guy who picks up his daughter the mom who picks up her 8 kids and takes them all in with her or the dog comes along for it or any of that kind of stuff. I mean, it's the humanity of it. It's the warmth of it. It's like, my God, what these people have achieved, even if they did not do it in the time they wanted to do it. Mm-hmm. Or that they were disqualified because they didn't make it in the time. You still made it here.
Yeah.
And it's awesome. I mean, at my essence, I'm a cheerleader. I've always been. And I'm always rooting for the runners when I'm out there. And I know and see the pain and the difficulties and what you're trying to get your head through and what you're trying to get your body through. Mm-hmm. It's an incredible thing to witness. You know,
the nerves too.
Yeah, and the nerves. The beginning of the race.
You see nerves, and we kind of spoke about it briefly just before. But you know, you as a photographer, you see even you see the nerves that people have in the beginning of the race before it started. You know, as they're arriving, you know, they're kind of pacing back and forth. You know, that nervous tension, and you see it, and you're trying to capture that.
Or they're just very silent.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The Stoics who just sit there and they're just here. Don't go near them. Don't touch them. but it's all of the rainbow. It's everybody. And it's all the different types of people. And you don't know. The nice part is you don't know where they came from. You don't know what they do during the week. You don't know any of that stuff. You know they came to a race.
Yeah.
You know that they came to support somebody who was in a race.
All shapes and sizes of people.
Yes.
Which is the cool part. And that's one of the cooler parts about running in general. Like you'd be shocked who runs and how far they're running. You know, you don't always expect certain people to run.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, that 100-year-old that's going to clean my clock is right ahead. Go right ahead.
It's amazing.
It's amazing. And that's part of why I'm so glad that we got into this world, and that Kev decided to keep getting longer and longer races, and I get to witness it.
Well, we are so glad to have you there out there on the trails. Where can we see you next? Where are you going to pop out of the woods? Heiner.
He's running Heiner.
Yeah.
All right.
I'll be out on the trail.
You'll be out on the trail. We will be at, Eric and I will be at the finish line. We will be live broadcasting. So we hope to see so many people at Heiner in Pennsylvania.
Yeah, we'll be at Heiner. We'll be at World's End. We'll be at Eastern States.
Fabulous.
That's, and maybe Black Forest.
Depends how the first.
If he does the first.
Oh, that's design, great.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Well, it's been such a pleasure having you. We could go on.
Great. it's something you could talk all day about. I mean, it's just something we enjoy. And it's so different, as I said, from what we do every day of the week, even though he's a photographer.
Yeah.
Different.
Yeah.
It's very different.
So just to make sure we're on the same page, you're doing the Triple Crown, right?
Yes, he is.
I am.
Which is Heiner 50K, World's End 100K, and Eastern States 100 Miler on the same year, which is a very lofty goal, and it's something you should be proud of if you can complete it. So congratulations for attempting.
You know, everything that, and honestly, like most people know what happened to me, but.
He got hit by a car.
Yeah.
For everybody who doesn't know.
Yeah. Wow. Maybe another show.
Kev got hit by a car a couple of years ago.
Yeah, so 3 years ago. Grace, I was hit by a car almost 3 years in May.
While running.
Wow.
I got T-boned by a car that went through a stop sign. And I got hit, landed on the hood of the car. The car went through two lanes of traffic. The car turned left and I went flying right. Kind of like John Wick.
Wow.
And I had a severe concussion and like a crushed IT band right at my knee. So... like it's
coming back
been
to racing.
Pretty painful, you know, to get back. And I went through months, 9-10 months of therapy, all sorts of therapy to learn to walk and learn to
not
stand straight and not fall over and learn to actually think again and find words and vision therapy, occupational therapy, physical, you know, all sorts of things. Anyway, so coming back from that, like, this past year is really the first year that I've been able to fully run. You know, I'm still about 80-90%. And I don't think I'll ever get back past that. So, you know, this
year,
my training's going fine right now.
We're going to be cheering for you then.
Yeah.
And here's one of the other things that I got in my gift bag for my sister. Hold on. I know. I got little pom-poms. So, so we will be cheering for you at all of those races, and we'll have to have you on again to hear all the details of the story and let us know how all of the races went. Now, you know, that you've been through that whole full experience. But
I'm excited to give it my best, give it my go, and, you know, do the best that I can.
He's got a ton of grit. That's all I can say. He can
do it.
I see that look, and I'm like, he'll do it. It'll suck the day after. But he'll do it.
Nice. But yeah, I'm very excited to do my best at it and see what I can do. And hopefully, and, you know, all goes well. And, you know,
all parts back in the same working condition.
All
parts back in the same working condition. Always.
That's right. That's right. Now, we always close off the show with what are your plans this weekend? So what do you two up to this weekend?
I think we're going to his parents' house.
Yeah.
Which is the flattest running in the planet.
Yeah. Yeah, go down there this weekend, hopefully.
that's great.
Yeah.
That'll be it.
Perfect.
St. Patrick's Day weekend, right?
What was that?
It's St. Patrick's Day weekend.
Ooh, is it?
It's when most of the parades are happening, I think. So.
Yeah.
Gotta look out for it.
Yeah. So Eric, I'm already wearing my green. This was my Conquer the Wall shirt that I got. Yeah. What do you got? What's that from? Is that from the Great Divide?
Crazy Mountain in Montana.
Crazy Mountain. Oh, nice. So Eric, what are you doing this weekend?
Our dog, Darwin.
Aww. Oh, man. Puppy.
Yeah, Becky and I are going out to Rabid Raccoon.
That's right.
Oh, fun.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
You're just going to walk around the block, right?
I'm probably going to do some volunteering at Blazing Saddles. Friend of mine, Neil Barnaba, this is his, he's been race directing for a long time, but this is a new race And it's underneath the York Road Runners Club, which I like to help out with. So I'm excited to do some volunteering, and I'll break out my pom-poms and cheer people. Nice. And Eric and Becky, be cheering the two of you on from afar. Can't wait to hear next Monday how Rabid Raccoon went. So is that what we're in for next show, I think?
I mean, we know quite a few people, I think, that are running it. So we might be able to grab somebody that does it with us.
That sounds good.
I'm going into it with about at least 2 months of no training. So it'll be
excellent.
So that's like how everybody else is way past training, right?
Yeah. Yep.
I don't know what it is, but I guess I'll just go out there and see what my body feels like is how I'm going into it. I really don't know. Becky should kick butt. Looks like it's going to be wet weather on Friday, but Saturday during the race is going to be dry, so the trails will be disgusting and sloppy, but we're not going to get rain one. So. Nice.
Slip sliding away.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that's our grand adventure.
All right.
And then, so yeah, let's plan on next week. We'll talk about Rabid Raccoon. We can talk about a little bit what we did this weekend and go from there.
Fabulous.
Thank you guys so much for the invite. This has been a real kick.
Yeah, I'll speak on behalf of everybody in the trail community that I know and knows you guys. We really do appreciate seeing you out there and what you do and capturing what you get, because it's something that, you know, memories can last a while in your head, but when you look at a picture, it just pops right back in. So it's always nice to have.
Yeah, definitely.
That's why we're out there. Welcome. Capturing the moments, that's all we do.
It's enjoyable. We like it.
We'll see you a lot at the Triple Crown stuff, I'm sure.
Yes, you bet. And everybody else in, you know, Runnerland.
Yep. Well, thank you for coming on. Thanks, everybody, for tuning in. See you next week. Bye.
See you next week. Bye.
Take care.